All right. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to talk about reality. Does anybody know what reality is? To find out what true reality is, we need to start with the priesthood. Why would we start with the priesthood if we want to find out what reality is? See, even Christians have such a twisted sense of what true reality is that they just have a hard time having any peace in their life. And they have a hard time having victory in their life. And church people have a really hard time with reality. They're stuck in this rut. I think reality is, they look at reality as the same way the world looks at reality. Get up in the morning, go to your 9-to-5, do what you got to do, come home, feed the kids, feed the dogs, go to bed and do it again. And hope everything is okay. And then they watch TV and they watch the world around them and they see that as reality. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 9. Okay, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Isn't that interesting? The priesthood of Jesus. When Jesus died and rose again, he became our high priest. According to the order of Melchizedek. This is important. Why Melchizedek? Why Melchizedek? See, the Bible, there's a lot of people who got some really goofy ideas about Melchizedek. They think he was just some guy that just showed up out of heaven all of a sudden. Because they said he didn't have a mom or dad, you know, he had, without lineage. But the reason they didn't list his lineage, they only list lineage for kings and priests. He's a common man. But he got to be a high priest. He got to be a priest. An important priest. He came and blessed Abraham. But here's the thing you have to understand about Melchizedek. Melchizedek gives to man. The priesthood of Aaron takes. It's important to understand this. Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron. Let's look at Genesis chapter 14, verse 14. Genesis chapter 14, verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by might, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is at the king's dell. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies under thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. See, because of this Melchizedek character right here in Genesis 14, we have Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let's turn over there. We're going to see reasons why some of this stuff happens. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." People will have a hard time running to God when they think he's a God that sometimes blesses them and sometimes curses them. They'll have a hard time running to God when they think that because they made a mistake, they're going to be in trouble with God. Let's see, this is very important. When you make a mistake, God wants you to run straight to him, because he's the only one that can fix you. He's the only one. It sounds simple, but people make it complicated. See, if you buy a Chevy pickup, brand new Chevy pickup, and you're driving down the road and that thing breaks down, you're not going to run to the Ford dealer with it, are you? But people do this all the time with God. We're created by God. We're made by him. And when we break down, we run all over the place before we run to God. You know, he knows more than the doctor does. I have had nothing but bad experiences with doctors. I swear, they're out to get me. Every time I give one of them a chance, it ends up bad. Really bad. The last experience was really bad, wasn't it? That was... what was I thinking? Gee. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 19. He blessed him, said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." The first word from Melchizedek's mouth was blessed. Blessed are you, Abraham. Abram, blessed. That's the first thing he said, was blessed. The Melchizedek order is just that. It's blessing. It's blessing. Jesus' priesthood is one that blesses, not curses. See, the world, the doctors have identified this thing called schizophrenia, and they medicate people for it all the time. And the church sits there and looks at these people like, man, I wonder what happened to them. And a lot of the church are the same schizophrenic kind of people as those. Because they're double-minded. One minute they think God is blessing them, and one minute they think God is cursing them. See, that's what double-minded is. They're scattered. James talked about it. A double-minded man is like a wave on the sea. He's in 1 minute he's up, 1 minute he's down. And it's no wonder people get confused on this and get double-minded when the pastor tells them, "You're blessed by Almighty God. If you don't do this, you're in trouble." And the Word of Faith circle is full of this. 1 minute God's blessing me, 1 minute God's cursing me. They don't ever hardly talk about it, but their behavior, their actions show it. Amen? Are we conscious? Are we conscious of Jesus giving to us every day? Are we alert to all His blessings coming to us from heaven to earth every day? What about this reality I was talking about? You speak it forth. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. "And God said, let there be light on the face of the waters." Right there. If you want to find out how things are supposed to be right now, go to the beginning of the book. "And God said," you're created in the image of God. You are have been made a spirit, a speaking spirit. A speaking spirit. That means you're supposed to say something. Most of the speaking spirits are sitting in the pew hoping something happens. When they're supposed to be saying something. Literally, they're supposed to be speaking their reality into existence. You know, Jesus said you could have what you say. This is a serious thing, what He said. What a lot of people are doing is running around saying what they have. And then they wonder why nothing gets better for them. All along, Jesus said you could have what you say. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Anything that you see was made by Him. That there was an atom, and somebody spoke that forth. You know, somebody came up with this idea, but they spoke it forth. You know, the trees, the wood for these buildings, everything was made by His Word. There was nothing made that wasn't made by Him. Amen? So what about the bad stuff? You know, there's a devil running around, and he takes the blessing and he twists it into the curse. Now, go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 22. "Well, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. and now Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell for the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom. It would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now see, Jesus was talking to some very religious people here. But he's talking to Jews under the law. Remember, the cross made all the difference? See, that'll throw you off if you don't understand that. And this is how double-minded people happen. They don't discern the word. They haven't been taught how to rightfully divide the word of truth. You have to understand who's talking and who they're talking to. See, that'll throw people into a tizzy right there. But look over to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Now this is after the cross. Remember? We want to make sure what side of the cross we're on, who's talking, who they're talking to. And it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now that's the recipe of faith. And that's how we're supposed to call things into existence. He called things that weren't as though they were. Well, how does it say it in the Bible where Abraham actually called things that weren't as though they were? Do you ever see any recollection? Do you ever see any place in there where he actually said something that he called things that weren't as though they were? His name. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. He didn't have any kids, but he had to run around calling himself the father of many nations. Everywhere he went, he had to go around calling himself the father of many nations. So now we can see how he called things that weren't as though they were. And he ended up with Isaac. He ran around and he said things that weren't as though they were until Isaac was born. Amen. He spoke his reality into existence. Now look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And we're going to see what Jesus said. I think that's where I wanted to be before. Verse 22 said, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Literally, Jesus showed us right there how to speak things into existence. And it's by controlling our tongue. And the Bible tells us not to lose our profession. Hold fast to your profession of faith. And that's not just being born again, but that, when you find a promise in the Bible and you pray the prayer of faith or whatever you're believing and you're standing on, stay focused on that. Stay focused on that answer and don't waver from it. It's going to be really hard for you to get into this blessing mode sometimes you know, if you don't control your tongue. I'm not talking, you know, when you smash your finger and you let out a cuss word. I'm talking about the confession of your mouth. You know, if you're believing God for healing, you can't run around talking about how sick you are. You have to run around talking about how you are the healed of the Lord. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. When you find your answer, then you get dead center on that answer. And that's the only thing you say out of your mouth. And then you have to be ready for your Christian friends or other people to come up to you and try to get you to slip up on your confession. That drives me nuts. Well, if you're so healed, then why do you look so sick? You know how many times I've heard Christians say stupid stuff like that to people that were believing for something? When you run into somebody in a spot like that, get in there and agree with them. Say, I agree with you. Let's get this thing on the road. Amen? Someday you might be the one believing. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. This verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I found this, and it said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I found those two scriptures, and I thought, wow, that's cool. I went and told a pastor friend of mine, I didn't know a whole bunch, but I went and told this pastor friend of mine, and he said, well, that's spiritual blessings. I thought, I didn't know how to answer that. Man, is this spiritual blessing? And sometime later, I found verse 29. It said, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. If you're born again, you're the seed of Abraham. And you're heirs according to the promise. What did Abraham have? Well, according to Melchizedek, he said, blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. That's what you fell heir to. That's what you fell heir to. The world is your oyster. You know, some people are afraid to get out of their own neighborhood. The world has been given to you. God said, you know, the Bible says that God has freely given unto you all things with Christ Jesus. That's pretty much everything, isn't it? Look at John 10:10. We look at this a lot. It's important to look at this verse a lot when you're identifying, you know, when trouble hits. But there's another part to this. John 10:10 says the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The last part of that verse. Jesus came. That we could have life. Literally the Zoe kind of life. Abundant life. That nothing missing, nothing broken kind of life. You know, that life that Jesus had in him, he wants that in you. You know, when he broke bread with his disciples, you know, he said, take, eat, this is my body. Some of them couldn't bear it. And in John chapter 6, verse 66, says many of them left. Can you imagine that? John chapter 6, 6, 6. They left. But then some of them got a hold of it and they said, you know, this guy, we've seen him walk on water. We've seen him still storm. We've seen him raise the dead. We've seen him cleanse lepers. And he said, we're taking his life into us when we take communion. We're taking his life into us. See, he wants you to have abundance of life in you. The blessing. I've been in this circle a long time, and I've seen how the blessing got turned into finances in a lot of places. When you hear the blessing, it's all they talk about is money. But here's the blessing. For you have the ability to meet every need that comes before you at any given time. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's the blessing that Jesus is trying to instill in us. You know, Jesus, he had the ability to meet every need that was put before him at any time. If they needed healing, if they needed deliverance, if they needed money, if they needed protection, whatever they needed, he had it. Even when it seems too late, you know, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus came there and told him to come forth. And he come forth, and the religious people went, hallelujah! No, because he was meddling with their religion. Why do you suppose 4 days? There's nothing that's insignificant in the Bible. Every time there's something in the Bible, it's there for a reason. For 4 days. They made it a point to let us know that Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. Because in the Jewish tradition, they believed that the spirit could hang around for 3 days and he could get back in the body and that guy could get back to life. But 4 days, corruption sets in. And then it's taboo. It's all over for him. So when Lazarus come bouncing forth out of that tomb after 4 days, that shook him up. But here's the thing. Go to Mark chapter 9. We'll sew it up with this. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if he canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I have spent a lot of time thinking about this verse. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now it's going to be through him. But what could you possibly do with him on your side? The adventures are endless. You know, the mode of transportation that that evangelist had when he baptized that Enoch, and he was found immediately 30 miles away. Oh, man, I think that'd be so cool. I mean, we could bounce back and forth, you know, just boom, we could be there. That's cool. That's possible. All things are possible to him that believes. Walking on water would be pretty cool. That would be pretty neat. But what about in our day-to-day lives? How could we change reality with the words of our mouth in the name of Jesus? See, here's the thing. You don't understand sometimes that when you make somebody else's reality better by a prayer, you know, by making them feel better, or maybe they get born again, what you've done is you've changed your atmosphere for the better. You made things around you better. See, you can change your world for the better around you by helping somebody else. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that everything Jesus, our high priest, does for us every day, blessing us in ways that we don't even realize. We may never even understand how much he blesses us. We may never understand how much he protects us. But we know it's there, and we thank you for it. He is our good shepherd, and we thank you for his life in us. In Jesus' name, amen.